everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Yeah, we had a great episode this morning of the Two-Man Game podcast with Steve Smiley. We talked about, well, the exhibition game between UNC and Wyoming. That was fun to talk about. But also, we did get into, you know, Mr. Coach Izzo's comments on G League players going down, I guess, to play college basketball now, and how that's certainly an interesting point. We got gambling stuff going on in the world. Crazy times, Kevin. But I'll tell you, CSU has dominated this show all week because of, you know, obviously you know about this. You might have broken it. Jay Norvell being fired by Colorado State. Yesterday, some more big news with Braden Fowler-Nicolosi leaving the program. Kind of wondered if something like that might happen, but here we are, man. It's October 23rd. There's still quite a few football games to go. I didn't know if we'd be having this conversation in October, but here we sit.
Yeah, totally. Very newsy week. I mean, there's really been three things that would normally dominate a conversation for the week. Obviously, the biggest one being the firing of Jay Norvell, but there's been offensive coordinator change, and your starting quarterback, former starting quarterback and captain, has left the program. I mean, all three of those in a normal week would be the conversation, dominant topic, but they've all three happened in one week.
Yeah, certainly a wild time for Colorado State and where we sit. Kevin, there's a lot of things we can look at. There was positives with Jay Norvell. We'll get into some of this on Rams Weekly coming up at 2:00 today. But you and I discussed this at length, and Jay Norvell called you a year and a half ago, talked about the BFN thing that kind of started this interesting road in this discussion. And I think we've discussed it. Like, for better or worse, Jay Norvell is going to put it all on this quarterback, and most teams do. If a quarterback doesn't work out, you're probably losing games. So you want your quarterbacks to work out. Jay doubled down on that with a lot of his conversations and a lot of his releases. There's a lot of things you can look at, but most of it does seem to kind of go back to how the quarterback situation was handled.
Yeah, 100%. I think at least X and O's or football wise, the biggest takeaway and biggest detriment to the Norvell era is never got the quarterback right. Again, we can go 100 different threads on why, but, you know, kind of all in on Clay Millen for a short period, then that disappeared, then all in on Braden Fowler-Nicolosi for kind of the opposite, probably too long a period.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've no idea, but you almost wonder if that was an overreaction to the Millen one, and or maybe it's tied to all the other stuff, the money and everything. Never gained the quarterback right. You know, there are a lot of reasons a coach ends up losing their job, but that's right near, if not at, the top of the list for the Norvell era.
I'm curious to see how the rest of the staff, not just the coaching staff, but, you know, in this day and age, we're seeing more people involved in the football program. So there was a lot of guys involved in the football operations surrounding the football program, not necessarily athletics at CSU, but the football program itself, which was kind of Jay Norvell's entire staff too, outside of just the coaching staff. So I'll be curious to see how that works out.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions on all that, you know, general manager role, some of the, you know, scouting staff, extra staff roles, all of that. What's it gonna mean, you know, for both those positions broadly and more specifically those people in those positions? Just a lot of question marks and tough on a lot of people, because there's, you know, 6 weeks left in the regular season, and most of those people kind of continue on with their job right now.
Yeah, it's so tough, too, for a guy like Tyson Summers, who's taking over as the interim coach. He also has to hear, on one end, like John Weber's like, oh, man, we got faith in you. You can do this and all this. It's great. We got trust in you. But at the same time, we're opening up an at-large coaching search.
Yeah.
That's to be expected 100%, but it's got to be a weird situation, not unlike what we saw with Mike Sanford down at CU during their time when Carl Durrell was let go in the middle of the season.
Yeah, no, these interim situations are very strange. You know, a lot of this staff are guys that, I mean, obviously, technically, everyone, you know, was hired by Norvell, but a lot of them are tied to Norvell for a long time. I mean, you know, Matt Mumme, Bill Best, some of these coaches have been with Norvell back to Nevada. So it's tough.
Yeah.
They're again, it's the business. They all know that. But that doesn't mean it's just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. No, it's still, I mean, you're still moving. You're still, a lot of people that aren't being paid the type of money Jay Norvell is being paid are going to have to move on and figure something out too.
Yeah.
So it's an investment by a lot of people into one guy, typically, which is why this sport is so fascinating. All these sports are so fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, big decisions and tough times for a lot of people.
Have you talked to Jay Norvell after?
I have not. Haven't been able to be in touch with him. Maybe will happen. You know, it's happened before when a coach leaves, you know, one way or another, end up in contact with him later. You know, a lot of times they kind of go into their bunker for a little bit and only talk to the people closest to them, which totally makes sense. I mean, if I lose my job, I'm not just calling anyone, everyone I've ever met to chat. I have not, won't be surprised. I would like, you know, if nothing else, to say, hey, appreciate things, because Jay Norvell, you know, on a job level, he treated me with respect, and you know, as a, you know, like, we're both just doing our jobs, and hopefully he feels the same for me. But yeah, because it can be a combative kind of relationship, if you will.
Sure.
But yeah, I have not, you know, I respect Jay. I thought he always treated me fairly, so that's all I can really ask for a coach.
What do you think, Kevin? You've been following this team for a long time. You've been covering this team for a long time. Everybody's got their ideas of coaches. You know, you're hearing different coordinators, big name coordinators, guys that were local guys, whatever. The question's like, well, how do you get it right? Because Mike Bobo was a successful offensive coordinator for Georgia. And then you get the next hire after that. And I'm just going after the McElwain stuff. Adazio, who was a 500 head coach at Boston College. And then, you know, after that, it's Jay Norvell, who was becoming more of a successful coach with Nevada. What is it? What kind of are you looking? Is there a job type that you're looking at? Do you want a former head coach at a lower level that did it with little resources? Because again, the Adazio thing's like, you have just as many, if not more, resources at Boston College, and you're a 500 guy. So what makes you think you can bring that to CSU? And some can look at it the opposite way. Is there a genre type of coaches you're looking for?
No, I mean, that's why it's so tough. I mean, on paper, Jay Norvell made a lot of sense. College football changed a lot kind of as he was getting here. I think that certainly is part of the story on why it didn't work out. And he's not really hidden that he didn't love a lot of the things going on. So I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued by, a serial winner at the FCS level, but then they haven't dealt with the level of money and tampering and all that type of stuff. Like, not saying that they haven't dealt with it at all, but it's different for a, you know, a program like CSU compared to like a Montana State. You know, the rising assistant, you know, your Colin Klein type. Okay, they're roundly considered, you know, a hot commodity, rising star, all that jazz, but they haven't been a head coach and dealt with all that. You know, someone coming from a Power Four school, I think we saw this with Bobo a little bit, of he spent a lot of time lamenting what he didn't have at CSU. So there's a small risk of that with, you know, someone coming from a P4 role of like, oh, I don't have this. You know, at Texas A&M, we could do this. At Georgia, we could do this, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. I mean, you can argue pretty strongly for and against all these different types. Like, I can, that FCS star, I can make a great argument for and great arguments against. A P4 coordinator getting their first job, I can make a great argument for, great argument against. And that's the secret sauce. I mean, that's why it's a huge call for John Weber, because it's not super clear. You know, it's not super easy.
Yeah.
This is why you hire a search firm, to be very frank. I used to be against them. But the more you look at, and certainly you look back at the Adazio hire, you understand why you get a search firm. Because you have to do a lot of in-depth research to figure out who's going to be good. Because it's not just like the thing with hiring like a rising coordinator. They're an X's and O's savant, sure. It's not an X's and O's job.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to it. And John Weber now has that big task in front of him that will kind of define his legacy.
Yeah.
Hiring Ali Faroukhmanesh, Michael could have hired Ali. Everybody wanted Ali Faroukhmanesh to be the head coach for CSU, even if it doesn't work out. I don't think a lot of people are going to go after John Weber because everybody wanted that. They might forget that, though. But you got to get it right with the head coach. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll get into all of this. in just a few moments. But first, we'll get to what did we learn on the show today? What did Kevin learn? Maybe some new stuff coming out. We'll get to all that and more. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
College football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.